So it's Luke 10, starting at verse 25, and in my Bible it says the parable of the Good Samaritan. And behold, a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbour as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And then the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbour to the man who fell among robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise."
Well, it's a great pleasure to open up God's word for us this morning. You have the Bible passage ready, I would think, by now. We're going to get straight into it. The parable of the Good Samaritan. It's probably the best known of all of Jesus' parables, if not the best known story in the whole Bible. The parable has been used as a basis for the establishment of various kinds of mercy ministries, including in our own city and town and state, Good Sammies. The person who started up Good Sammies took this parable in a particularly difficult time in our state's lives in the 1930s. But of course, this story is actually doing much more than that. It puts before us, I want to say this morning, two ways to live, two ways to think about God, two ways of responding to God, two ways actually of understanding Christianity. The first way I call the way of the lawyer, and the second way is the way of the Samaritan. And we, as I say, are just going to follow this story through today. So let's get into it. First of all, the way of the lawyer. So a lawyer stands up in the middle of the crowd and asks Jesus a question. He's a religious lawyer, and so he's, can I say, probably the worst kind of lawyer, a theologian, a theological college lecturer, nay, even perhaps a principal. Oh dear, things are not looking good. He puts Jesus on the spot. He tries to trip him up. "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? How can I be sure now that I will have possession of the life to come then? How will I know now that I will inherit the kingdom of God?" It's a loaded question. Jesus is being tested by the lawyer. Earlier in Luke, Jesus has been criticized by the religious teachers because he has been saying just this, that God's kingdom can be enjoyed now as a present reality, that God's forgiveness is available and it fully assured now, that God's peace is available now, that the joy of the age to come is available now. That's been his message, and here the lawyer is coming along to push back on that because it makes him very uncomfortable and people like him because, well, they're just not sure that God could actually say that now, because how does anyone know if they are righteous enough to make that claim? Well, suddenly we realize the lawyer's talking on our territory. And the lawyer's uncomfortable with the discussion and wants to get Jesus back onto his territory. And Jesus obliges him. What is written in the law? How do you read it? What's your view? What does the law say on this question? He's giving the lawyer an opportunity to respond to that. Now, I'm not sure if we're up to where I'm up to. There we are. Fantastic. It's all happening. And here's the man's answer. He's quick to reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and your neighbour as yourself." It's a very good answer, and Jesus does not disagree. The first part is the daily creed of every true Israelite. It comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6. "Hear, O Israel," the creed says, "the Lord, our Lord, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." That's the response of Israel back to God who saved them, who gave them his own name, who entered into covenant with them, who blessed them with all of the patriarchal promises. Such love from God calls for love and devotion in return. A love that holds nothing back. Notice all the parts of our humanity are included in that response. Whether you're standing or sitting, says Deuteronomy 6, whether you're in your home or in your field, doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter what you're doing, wholehearted, total devotion to God. And there's a second part to the lawyer's answer, did you notice? It's inseparable from the first, and your neighbour as yourself. If the first commandment summarizes our response to God, the second summarizes our response towards human beings who are made in God's image. Love your neighbor as yourself. This one, as you may know, comes from the book of Leviticus, also in the law, the first five books of the Bible. Spot on, says Jesus. You wanted to know what to do to inherit eternal life? There it is. Do it, and you'll live. Love God with your whole self. Love your neighbor as yourself. Life will be yours. And now the lawyer realizes that he answered better than he knew. Did you notice there? The same verb is used toward God and toward human beings, the word love. And did you notice, if you're looking carefully, that the lawyer only uses the verb once to cover both response towards God and towards other people? Oops. You see, our love of God and our love of neighbour are inseparable. We can't compartmentalise our love for God and our love for other people. They are bound together. Our love of others is a measure of our love of God, and our love of God is visible in our love of others. So if our love of God is to spend everything, to give our whole selves to him, our love of neighbour can be nothing less. So Jesus says, wrapping up the Q&A, do this and you'll live. Now that would and could have been the end of that conversation. The lawyer could have gone home and thought, of course, love of God, love of other people, inseparable. Thank you for that answer. But lawyers do like to have the last word. Not so fast, says the lawyer. Perhaps realizing that he's painted himself into an uncomfortable corner. So he turns to an old lawyer's trick. He shifts the discussion to definitions. Oh yes, the lawyers love definitions. Who is my neighbour exactly? I can't love everybody, can I? How can anybody love everybody? It's impossible. Surely God's not asking that. Who should I have in mind? How does one make these choices? This is very problematic, Jesus. What's your view? Who is my neighbour? Luke tells us that the lawyer takes this tack in order to justify himself, to make himself look good. He's not asking this question to actually get an answer. He's asking it insincerely to make himself look good in front of other people and Jesus look less good. He thinks that no one, surely not Jesus, will venture into discussion in this area because it's fraught with problems, right? In case we get ourselves caught out, we don't want to define the neighbour because we'll catch ourselves out somewhere. There's always somebody you should have loved that you didn't love. And so we meet the way of the lawyer. The way of justifying myself, of defining what's acceptable by my own standard, of modifying my behaviour to meet that standard so that it appears to other people that actually I'm looking good, and so they will think that I'm looking good before God. The way of the lawyer. It's the natural way of all human beings, whether you're Christian or not, whether you're religious or not. It's our natural inclination to justify ourselves, to make ourselves appear good in front of other people. And we all look for ways of justifying our actions, even when we know we don't even meet our own standards. We suppress that knowledge inside of ourselves and keep up the charade. We've got, as one writer, John Calvin, would put it, I'm rephrasing here, we have a self-justification factory constantly working inside of our own heads. We do, don't we, friends? We're always making comparisons with other people, looking at ourselves and looking at them, constantly at work, trading one part of our lives for another part. Well, you know what? I do really well at work, so you know what? I can actually slack off at home. Or I'm doing fantastically well at home. Say, hey, give me a break here at work. We're always doing that in some way. Am I getting a pass? Maybe a credit? Possibly a distinction. Oh, I'd never get a high distinction. Because we don't want to fail. That's the way of the lawyer. How can I get my behaviour to look good in front of other people and to help them to think better of me before God? And the way that I do that is by limiting who I love, by limiting the definition of my neighbour. And it's at that point that Jesus introduces us to the way of the Samaritan. So a man was travelling down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. What? Did he say to Jericho? Yes, he did. Was he on his own? Yes, he was. This is not going to work out very well. And it doesn't. The man is beaten. He's robbed. He's stripped. He's left for dead. three people come past: a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. Jesus tells us four things about each one. Listen for them as we go through. First of all, a certain priest comes past, by chance was going down that road. When he saw the man, he walked past on the other side. And then a Levite likewise was going down that road. When he saw the man, he also walked past on the other side. The pattern is already in play. And then we meet the Samaritan. A certain Samaritan was journeying down that road and came to where the man was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He went to him. He bound his wounds with oil and wine. He set him on his own animal. He brought him to the inn. He took care of him personally. He gave over money to the innkeeper to say, look after him until I come back. And when I come back, I've run out of fingers. When I come back, I will pay you whatever is owed. And then Jesus asked the question, so which one of these three proved to be the neighbour of the man who fell into that ditch and was robbed? Notice, will you, how different Jesus' question is from the lawyer's question? The lawyer asks, who is my neighbour? Jesus asks, which one of these three proved to be, became a neighbour to the man? The lawyer wants to define the neighbour as the one who he can work out, the one that he can meet a standard for. But Jesus says it doesn't work like that. You don't get to define a neighbour. You don't get to choose a neighbour. You don't get to include or exclude a neighbour. Notice again how each character is introduced. Now, by chance it happened, and it happened. It just happened that the priest was walking down the road. And it just happened that a Levite was travelling down that road. And it just happened that a Samaritan was going down that road. The priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan were all on the way. They weren't intending to meet anybody. It just happened. They had other things on their mind. I don't know what. The priest was perhaps heading home after a very, very heavy sacrificing duty in the temple. The Levite may have been heading down to Jericho to secure the next year's supply of turtle doves. And the Samaritan, well, what was he doing in Jerusalem anyway? Wrong place. It doesn't matter. Right there, right then, they became a neighbour to the man who was in the ditch, naked and beaten up. So we are not to ask, who is my neighbour? But whose neighbour am I? Who has God put in front of me that I am to love? For surely it just doesn't happen that I walk down that road. No, it doesn't. God puts that person in front of me. Listen again to Jesus' answer. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbour to the man who fell among robbers? But defining the neighbour correctly, or properly not defining the neighbour, is not the real point of this parable. It's along the way. Listen to the answer the man gives to Jesus' question. He says, the one who showed him mercy. It's funny, isn't it? That the lawyer now sums up the way of the Samaritan. He knows it. He knows the way of the Samaritan is the way of mercy. When the Samaritan saw the man on the side of the road, his first reaction was not to think, is this my responsibility? Oof, I'm late. No. Maybe he's got COVID. Oof, that could be dangerous for my village. No. His first reaction was not to think, but was to be moved to compassion. He puts himself in that position. He loves him as if it were him. He takes pity on the man and out of that pity carries out 10 other actions. His compassion moves him towards the man and not away from the man. His compassion moves him to bind up, to soothe, to put him on the donkey, to pay the money at the inn, to look after him himself, to lay out every expense, to be extravagant. Not even to mention the fact that he's a Samaritan and the person in the ditch is probably a Jew. And there's nobody looking. He's not doing it in front of other people. He's doing it before God. And then we realize that this Samaritan is like somebody else in the story of the gospel. Somebody who was on a journey to Jerusalem. Somebody who was moved to compassion. Somebody who looked out on the lost. Somebody who spends his life on them. Somebody who binds up wounds, who soothes injuries, who remains with them, who provides for them. Somebody who pays their price for their healing and redemption. Somebody, ironically, who later in the story of Luke is beaten, stripped naked, walked past, even though he was the heir of the kingdom. That somebody loved God without limit and loved the needy without limit. Someone who, out of his compassion, spends everything on them. Who doesn't just quote the law, but fulfills the law toward God and toward other people. And again, we could finish right there today. What a great place that would be to finish. But it's not where Jesus finishes, and so we're not finished yet. Verse 37, again. And he said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. And so here we are. In Bull Creek, it's Sunday again, and you're asking yourself, But Don, how? How do I do that? How do I move from the way of the lawyer, the way of justifying myself, of living before me, the way of choosing who I help, the way of limiting my love to the way of the Samaritan? How do I make that move? The way of compassion, the way of living before God, the way of spending everything, of sacrificing nothing. How do I do that? Well, we do that by realizing that we were and are on the side of that road, left for dead, desperately needing mercy. And we still do. And we remember that he came to us, that he gave up everything for us, that he bound our wounds, healed our diseases, brought us back to God, and he still does. And as we see that compassion, we know it cannot be limited to what we want. And that it is actually him, the Lord Jesus, who puts people in front of us in need. People who need his compassion as much as we do. And it's as we begin to consider the magnitude of his mercy and the greatness of our need and their need, that we're enabled by God's Spirit to serve others. It's possible here today that you realize you're not a Christian. Please listen to me very carefully as we finish. I want to say to you that Jesus gave himself up to bring you back to God. Perhaps today you've realized that's actually you in the ditch. And I want to say to you that you're not too low, too injured, too destitute for him. I want to say to you that he will not walk past. He loves you. It may be that today you're a Christian. Listen very carefully what I'm going to say to you. Jesus gave himself up for you to bring you back to God. Perhaps today you've realized that you are in a ditch. I want to say to you that you are not too low, too injured, too destitute for him. He will not walk past. He will stoop down and serve you. He loves you. Let's pray. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast." I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving yourself fully for us. Thank you for your compassion toward us, which does not cease even to this very day. We know we are not worthy of it. Please forgive us for hardness of heart, for fear, for concern about ourselves above others. We pray, Father, that you would move our hearts to compassion as we consider once again the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would cause us to turn to him today and make us more into the people of his likeness. For his sake we pray. Amen.